Hi, everyone. This is Catherine Adams.
And Elizabeth Wallace. And you're listening to Binary System Podcast number 409. And tonight, oh my goodness, there is a Night Vale episode that we could recap, but we're not gonna, because we just read two episodes of Lore Olympus. And I'll tell you what we read. We read episode 276, which is available for free right now on the Webtoons app, and 277, which is only available if you're fast passing. I can't get this out because, my God, I gotta tell you, spoiler warnings. We finally got what we have been wanting. Like, one of the commenters said, we've been wanting this since, like, 2019.
Yeah, that was the top comment when I finished reading the second episode. This is a long time coming, and Rachel didn't handle it the way I was thinking she was going to, but I'm kind of satisfied. Oh. I feel so much better now, especially considering how things were shaping up in 276, because that I actually could feel my hands were shaking a little bit as I'm scrolling through this storyline, because it was shaping up to be something dreadful, and then instantly everything changed and we go to the next episode.
Gracious. Okay, so we're going to start with 276. It opens with Hades, who is looking at the jewel that he's made out of his father, and Morpheus appears and wants them to go home, and he asks Morpheus to do something for him. He just wants to make sure that when Melano in the future is born, because in the future is when Cronos will come and take Melano away to this whole situation that she's been in. Hades wants to make sure that Morpheus can just make her forget all of it. He can't stand the idea of her remembering any of this.
And Morpheus is totally cool with that, although she does have a couple of stipulations. She wants to be Employee of the Month forever, mm-hmm. and she wants to never do another dream dive because they're terrifying. And yeah, Hades is perfectly fine with that. Hands over the gemstone that his father is and says to take that back. He has to do one more thing. And he goes to say goodbye for now to Melano. And it's just very sweet. It's just the two of them standing there with their foreheads pressed together. So that's really sweet.
It's beautiful.
Now, we also had a scene with Hera sitting down next to, I guess, Cronus's physical form, which is possibly dying. I don't know. But yeah. Cronus starts talking to her about how when he was a child, his father, Ornos, was the sky, and he never let his children see the sky. So they were always in darkness until Cronus stopped him. But Cronus was still always afraid, and that fear just consumed him. And he tells Hera, I am so, so sorry. And there's this pause as Hera looks down at him, and she says, I don't care. And it's just, again, it's one other way, because she has been so wronged by Cronus. I mean, the horrible things that Cronus did to her, that he's tried to do to her, that he was a horrible monster to so many people. And she's just like, forgiveness is freeing, but she's not interested in that. It's not going to change anything that he did.
Nope. And I love every time you see like his face as he's lying there, he looks just haggard and just done. And it just, so after the horrible, horrible, horrible things that he's done, it really is awfully satisfying. Now, while she's talking with him and he's telling her this story, we see little images that are kind of interspersed with it. One of them is the bearded Eros who's talking to Apollo. Mm-hmm. And Eros is holding up this glowing pink arrow. And that's the arrow of true love that Apollo wanted him to make. Another one of the images that we see, that's when we see the image of Hades. He's just kind of pressing Melano's hands to his forehead as they sort of float in midair. It's this gorgeous image. The third image we see is Persephone, and she's running through the snow. As it turns out, she's running towards the mortal realm.
Yeah. So she is going to try to wake up the mortal realm now to bring it back to life. And she knows the others are coming soon, but she wants to get started. So she focuses on the ground, and she is trying and trying, trying. And then all of a sudden a seedling pops up, and she's so thrilled. And this foot comes down, and it's Apollo, and he crushes it. And he tells Persephone, you're out of time. And he physically picks her up and drags her away. And he's just, he's talking the whole time. She's pleading. She can do this. She can fix this. And he's like, it's really cute that you think that anything with the mortal realm is the point here.
Yeah.
So, and it's all about how difficult Persephone has been. That, you know, mm-hmm. she's been playing this innocent little girl thing when she's killed so many mortals, and Hades was only, you know, humoring her because she was the only goddess that gave him the time of day. Just all of that, I mean, just being awful. And she's just telling him, like, this won't work. I don't love you. I will never love you, and you don't love me. And he's like, well, of course I love you. I'm doing all this for you. And I'm like,
it's so condescending and smug and horrible. Like, he's talking about how, you know, you've done this, like, plague of destruction and caused 10 years of strife between the realms, and you've killed countless mortals, and you're worthless, and you screwed up your scholarship with the goddesses of eternal maidenhood. And I'm like, oh my God, Apollo, she screwed that up because you raped her. I mean, it's just, oh, it's awful, awful, awful. And he ties her up to a pillar. Like, he's literally, like, tying her up in this rope, telling about how she should be grateful for everything that he's done for her. And he says, you know, I'm looking forward to you not fighting me at every turn. Frankly, it's exhausting. It's just, ugh. She asks him how he knew that she was a fertility goddess, and he tells her the truth. He says it's his great-grandfather, Ornos, and Ornos has been helping him, and they've been working together.
And she just starts laughing. I mean, there's still tears in her eyes, but she just thinks, if he thinks that Ornos is his friend, that he's just deluded. But Apollo has got the solution to this situation. He says he has got an arrow of true love with your name on it. And that's when I really started panicking.
I did too. And she looks up at him and she says, remember how you said that no one would be fooled by my stupid little girl act? Because that's how you see me. You have always seen me as frightened and easily manipulated. And the only thing you fear is Hades. And you believe one day he'll rip out all of your bones to build a prison for the wreckage of your immortal body.
And she says, but what I'm going to do to you is so much worse. And Apollo just laughs. And this whole time, Apollo has been golden. Like, when she was mm-hmm. fighting him as he's trying to wrestle her back, he turns golden. I think that was what he did when he was trying to murder Daphne, when he took on his godly form, so that there's nothing that she could do to fight him. But he's looking in her face, and he's like, you're tired, you're dirty, you're defeated. How could you possibly defeat me? And then we see that little seedling that Persephone had made. It's turned into a vine, and it stabs Apollo in the throat with the arrow of true love. Ah! Oh, that was the point where I'm like, thank God everything's going to be better now.
Yep. That chapter literally ends with her saying, true love. And oh my God, the commenters are like, yes, Persephone, make him your bitch. It's
just, oh my God. If we weren't fast passing, I would have fast passed the hell out of that. Cause this is where it all changes. Now the whole dynamic between Apollo and Persephone is completely turned on its head now. And I am here for it.
So we're jumping into episode 277. Spoiler warnings. We've got to talk about all this, but you know what I could say in short, if you wanted to summarize this real quickly, so the arrow actually works on Apollo. He really does truly love her. But more importantly, he feels empathy for her. And he now understands everything she felt after everything that he did to her. And she's rubbing it in.
Oh, it is brilliant. I mean, we start out with Persephone and Eris, the goddess of discord, talking. They're mm-hmm. kind of like, they're almost standing on opposite sides of a frozen pool kind of thing, or a mirror, looking at each other in a mirror. And she's like, wrath, rage, and anger. These are so misunderstood because people don't think that they have anything to do outside of discord. But what she calls them is a catalyst of change. And that kind of reminded me of what you had told me that Dad had told us one time about stage fright, how to mm-hmm. deal with that. And it's about using that energy that you get from the fear of being on stage. Yeah. And I think that's what Eros is talking about. You have to really care in order to be that, you know, with that much rage in you in order to make changes. And she said, you know, she says, thank you for taking care of me. And now, Persephone, are you ready to rage? And Persephone says, yes.
Oh,
and I love how they introduced Eris in one episode in the trial, like years ago now. And then because Persephone refused to let Apollo capture Eris, and because Persephone was nice to Eris. It's just like there's an honest-to-God friendship between these two, which means Persephone has been able to recognize what Eris gives her. And I just, yeah. I love that whole thing.
Oh, my goodness. So I believe the first scene we see after that is Apollo and his face.
And he's back asleep. To looking, he's back to purple, so he's no longer yeah. in this big elevated God mode, I think.
Oh, nope. He wakes up and he's in his car, which for Persephone was like, that really symbolized a lot of the fear that she had of him because she felt trapped when she was in the car with him. And now he's in the car and he's terrified and he doesn't know what's happening. And she like slaps her hand on the window. She's basically asking him over and over again, how does he feel? How does it feel?
Are you afraid now? I mean, at one point, you know, she's regular size up next to the car, but then in the very next panel, she's gigantic and like completely crouched over and looking in upside down into the window, asking him if he's afraid. And it's just, and this is
so
like,
good.
He's like tumbling through space and through situations and her home and seeing her friends and the goddesses of eternal maidenhood. And that basically the fact that Apollo recognized every way that she was vulnerable and used that against her. She was naive. She was new to Olympus. She really didn't know too many people, and he invaded her space. She was never able to sleep comfortably in that bed after what he did. Her relationship with Artemis was so new and fragile. He knew that she wasn't going to tell her and risk that friendship. And the goddess of eternal maidenhood, she was like, that was her scholarship, and she didn't want to jeopardize that by saying something. And the whole time that she's talking, Apollo is finishing up the second half of the sentence. He's acknowledging what he did to her. And God, it's so powerful.
It is so good. And she says, you know, after all that he did, the horrible things, the way he just, she had started to build a life for herself in Olympus, and he completely ruined it. And it still wasn't enough. He stalked her. He threatened her. He targeted her friends and he blackmailed her. He took photos of her. And he says he did it because it was easy.
It was
he
easy.
Agreed.
And yeah. she says, now that you truly love me, you have to live with what you've done. And that's there. I took a look at a Reddit thread, and I think it was possibly a Reddit thread based on people who like bashing the comic because they had an awful lot of negative things to say. But a lot of them were arguing about the fact that, you know, oh, she made him love her. Well, a lot of abusers love their abuse victims, or they say they do. And I'm like, yes, that's right. They say they do. But what they really are, I mean, God, we're getting a little esoteric here. C.S. Lewis, I think paraphrasing something he said one time, every demon is an angel that fell, which basically means every evil desire is actually a good desire with everything good taken out of it. And the higher the emotion is before, the worse it's going to be afterwards. So things like love and, you know, motherhood and patriotism and all that stuff. And when you take away everything good from that and you just have the base desire, it becomes awful. And that's what we were seeing with Apollo, that he kept saying that he loved her, but he needed to control her. It had nothing to do with love. And now he actually loves her, real love, where you want what's best for the person that you love. And he's having to see that he never had her best interests at heart, and he hurt her every step of the way.
Oh my God.
And I think that's something, you know, people complaining about that, this is kind of what I think about when you talk about punishing a horrible person. It's like, you know, sure, lock them up and throw away the key. It's not really enough, because what I want is for them to really be sorry, like to actually acknowledge that they were wrong, have the whole lifetime moment. Oh, I was wrong the entire time. It hardly ever happens, but it's happening in these scenes right
yes.
here.
Yes, this is exactly, I was thinking the entire time. I'm like, it's like every disaster movie where you've got the horrible guy who was standing in everybody's way, and right before the end of the movie, he realizes how bad he was and acknowledges it and says, I am so, so sorry. And then he dies horribly. So that's kind of what we're getting here. And it's really because he understands. He really, and he believes everything she's saying. And that's what makes it so satisfying. And then she says, it's taken me so much labor to stop feeling guilty or like I need to protect you on some level, but I'm done. And she knows she's not perfect, but he needs to be punished for what he's done. And she says, you love me, so tell everyone the truth.
Yeah, and there's nymphs showing up nearby, and he had apparently called a news channel to come down and report, which they talk afterwards. Oh, he told us this was going to be the engagement of the century. So, and she said, I assume that you called them down here, so you need to tell them. Oh, and Apollo, once you're done, I never want to see you again. I never want to think about you at all. And it's just, you know, and meanwhile, the whole time, because of the magic arrow, he loves her. So all of this hurts that much more, especially the fact that because of what he's done, she will never love him back.
It's so satisfying on so many levels.
Really,
I mean, I never saw this coming. All the times we knew that we had the arrow of true love in play, and I didn't know how it was going to get used. In none of the things that I was thinking about did I ever assume that it would get used on him, but it is really, it's a brilliant solution.
Yeah, and I do wonder sometimes if Eros worked something in there, because I feel like it wasn't a throwaway line when Apollo said, I've got an arrow of true love with your name on it. So what if Eros worked that? So it's like, oh yeah, this is an arrow for Persephone. Yeah, it's an arrow to make you fall in love with Persephone. But I don't know how she would have recognized that ahead of time. So
I don't know, because it's also maybe he combined it with the arrow that shows people exactly what you're like. You know, the one that Apollo got shot with before, where Daphne could see exactly what he was like. What if it's somehow like you get shot with the arrow and you see what yourself is like? It's layers and layers to this friggin' arrow.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be interesting, though, if it was a disguised arrow of seeing someone's true, and it meant to hit, like when Apollo hit her and meant to like announce to everybody that they were engaged, and she would just start spouting off on everything that she could see and how horrible he was. So, or everybody, like if he called people in, they could all see that. Ooh, yeah. Now I'm wondering where she's going to take that little segment, because I can't imagine Eros like willingly wanting to give up that arrow without doing something to keep Persephone safe.
Yeah. And all the nymphs that are all surrounding him, I'm like, one of them like literally hisses at him at the moment. So you're thinking, I mean, that could be because they all know what he's like, but I don't know. Maybe they're really seeing, I don't know. Anyway, so the press corps surrounds Apollo and they're just like, oh, were you able to find a solution? I love how she drew his face, because it's everything that we wanted. He just looks so stricken. He is so upset. He does not want to do this, but he knows he's going to, because he knows he's horrible. And he says, I'm afraid I have something I must confess. 10 years ago, when Persephone first moved to Olympus, and then the word bubble is grayed out, but it looks to me like, if you were to look at the letters, it looks kind of like it says, I raped Persephone. But what you see is a lot of those lines, they almost look like staff lines, like music lines. We always thought maybe it either looked like music lines because Apollo being the god of music, or the like the lines of a lyre, I suppose. L-Y-R-E.
Yeah.
Or L-I-A-R, I don't know, but anyway. But those are just flowing through everything that's going on as he's talking, and we see quick images of other people, but we also see his face, as you can tell that he is like, he is just bearing his soul for everybody.
And we see everybody's reaction. I mean, Demeter is standing in front of Ares, and it's hard to tell which one of them looks more pissed off. I mean, it's just, I mean, it almost looks like Ares has that eye that Eris of Discord has on her wings. Yes, definitely. I mean, they're both furious. You see someone has been standing at the TV, and they've obviously just dropped a coffee cup, and they're just standing in disbelief. I'm pretty sure that's Leto. It was right after Apollo said, you know, we think that he's saying I raped Persephone. So it's just like, and a lot of people are arguing about, is she so just bereft the fact that her son did something that awful? Or is she realizing that all of her plans are going to come to absolutely nothing? Because I don't know if she actually cares about what Apollo did to Persephone, other than the fact that he's basically ruined everything now.
It's so funny, because when I first saw that, I instinctively thought, oh my God, she had no idea that he had done that. But honestly, knowing Leto, it makes more sense to think that she's just like, I can't believe that everyone will know about this now, and I'll never, you know, she'll probably get thrown out of Olympus again, just like she was before. So, oh my goodness. Oh, wow. And it's just Apollo just talking and talking and talking, and people glaring at him. I want to say, I think I saw Athena at one point as well.
I definitely saw Athena. I saw Hecate before he started talking, and everybody just staring him down. And it's really an interesting choice to not see what he's saying, but it's definitely the same tactic that she took when Artemis was calling him out on what he had done to Persephone. We never saw exactly what she was saying either. And I guess that's so you don't have to like hash all the individual words or find out where he's trying to do loopholes or make excuses or anything like that. He's just telling everybody how it is, and you're seeing everybody reacting, so you know it's bad.
After all of that, and apparently it's still going on, but you just see from a distance, you see the lights of the press conference against the snow and everything, and a long way away, Persephone is just, she's calmly walking away. She's not even sticking around for it. She's just leaving.
And that's the end of the episode.
And that's the end of the episode. One of the commenters, I love this, they said, show us Artemis, show us Artemis, show us Artemis. I mean, the thing, though, is that's not as satisfying as it would have been because Artemis already knows. We've already had the confrontation. Yep. I do kind of want to, I guess I want to see just a little bit more, I suppose. But it's not, well, now that she already knows, it's not as much of a mic drop moment as it would have been for that. But I still would like to see what she thinks about all this.
Yeah, because a lot of people are wondering, okay, is Leto now going to let Eros and Psyche out of the prison that she's got them locked in now that everything's come to naught? Or is she still going to keep fighting this? Is Apollo going to admit that he was the one that drugged Zeus because he was trying to take over? There's all sorts of other things. Ouranos is still in play. Even if Cronus isn't, Ouranos is still in play. We haven't seen Hades and Persephone, you know, joyfully reunite after all of this. And it's less to have to deal with than I was afraid of 2 episodes ago. I feel like we made so much movement. And him publicly coming out and saying all this stuff, you could actually just use this to wrap up a lot of those dangling storylines. It's like, oh, that's right. Now it was all Apollo's fault.
Man. And I guess also Morpheus had appeared in front of Hera's face last episode, and Hera looked very startled. But, you know, Morpheus has got the gem that's Cronos, but Hera is standing over the body that is Cronos. So we got to wrap that up as well. So
yeah, we do. I don't know. It's just, it's so good, but my God, I was in such a panic at the second half of the first episode this evening, just watching Apollo be horrible. I'm so glad that's over.
I know. I can't. It has been so long waiting for this moment to happen, and I'm just bravo, Rachel. She did a really good job. Yes.
My God, to give us that many. Because I think it was 2018 that the viewers said that they were had been waiting for this. So, like, 6 years of story, and it didn't really feel like padding. I mean, despite what some other people have said, I don't feel like it was a full-on, huge, epic story. And we had to wait for 6 years to get this kind of resolution, but it was worth it.
It was worth it. It was totally worth it. Oh, so that's it for Laura Lubis this week. Oh, only thing I wanted to mention, I don't want to get into it a lot. I finally watched Avatar: The Way of Water, and I gotta say, talk about something not being worth it.
Oh, you really don't recommend it?
It's 3 hours long, which is about an hour too long. There's so many scenes going on that go on way too long. So many fight scenes that start out being really cool and badass, then you're like, okay, I'm tired. And you've got 5 kids. And 3 of the kids have their own major and completely unconnected storylines. And that's in addition to the storyline of the native people have to defend their world against the interlopers. Again, it's too much. And it's a mess. And there is some, like, fan service-y stuff that happens where they bring back a couple characters because I guess the characters were popular and James Cameron is not capable of being like, no, I can't bring back these characters. They're dead. So he found a way to bring it back anyway. It's just, I don't know. Honest to God, Hugh, our movie reviewer, who loves everything, by the way, but he did give this movie a 93, but if you read through his review, he backs up a lot of that. There's a lot of characters that were kind of useless, that were kind of dumb, that was way, way too long, and he also says, if you loved the first movie, you will probably like this movie. But if you found the first movie to be irritating, this movie's not going to change your mind.
I didn't find the first movie irritating. I've just never had an urge to watch it again. I mean, we saw it at the IMAX in 3D, which I think is the perfect way to see it. And I've never had an urge to revisit it ever since then. So, you know, it really reminds me, I mean, so we spent a lot of time in Florida, and you see these houses that are built right on the waterfront. So you know the owners had a lot of money. And they build these houses, And it's like the only stipulation they had was it needs to be a three-story pastel warehouse with windows. Like, yeah. No design elements that are at all interesting. It's not beautiful to the eye. It's just basically a money stamp. And sometimes Cameron's movies feel like that. I mean, he's got all the money. You would think he could seek out the best writers and get the very best story. But then, I mean, I think Alan Moore, the writer, has talked about Hollywood, where you've got these creations that cost the GDP of small third world countries. And when that happens, the writing gets done by the accountants. And I think that's what we're seeing with the Avatar movies. It's all, how can we put butts in seats? And how can we make all of these big splashy things, since we know that's all the audience wants? And the story, maybe not so important.
Yeah, Hannah was pointing that out. I think Cameron's the problem with that again. It's not even that I can certainly see in a lot of cases producers take control and they make terrible decisions and, you know, it's like written by committee or whatever. I think it's entirely possible that Cameron wrote it and Cameron thinks he's a better writer than he actually is. That's
what it is. So. Dances with Wolves on Another Planet.
That's right. But anyway, can't recommend it. Sorry.
Such a shame. Well, I'm working my way through the Hugo books, and there will be a review posted up 2 days before this episode drops for John Scalzi's starter villain.
Ooh.
And it is just fun.
Nice.
I say that in the review. He walks the line between kind of like the ridiculous supervillain tropes and like dealing with actual serious things about people who have more money than God, who are willing to kill pretty much anybody just to get a little bit more to hold on to the money they already have. So yeah, I liked it. It's good. I'm not entirely sure it's going to win the Hugo because it's kind of a little fluffy. It's got super intelligent, genetically modified cats. So fluffy in more than one ways, but it's a good read.
Cool. Awesome. Well, I guess that's going to wrap us up for the week, so make sure to check out PixelatedGeek.com for all the book reviews, the movie reviews, the comic book reviews, the photo galleries. Speaking of Hugh, our movie reviewer, he went crazy the past couple weeks. We've got like 4 different movie reviews up for him, all good reviews. Various, like there's a Star Wars Tales of the Empire animated thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know that you need to watch that if you haven't watched any of the previous Star Wars animated, but he likes that. And he just, I don't know, he's really been reviewing a lot lately, and make sure to check that out, because I think he just really, he's like your friend David. He just really likes to go to movies.
Yes, that's good. Well, we need some people to do that, because everyone's talking about how the movie industry is kind of in trouble because of the streaming industry. And I'm like, I don't know where we can balance that, because going to a movie theater can be a kind of, if you're not going to the Alamo Draft House, you're going to have to deal with people talking. That's my big problem. Yeah. I mean, yes. I'll pay the extra money. I'll buy the popcorn, the overpriced popcorn, all that, fine with that. People bugging me. I'm like, well, I could just be watching this at home and be able to put it on pause to take a bathroom break.
Agreed. Anyway, all that and more, pixelatedgeek.com. Okay, so next week we'll get back on schedule,
yeah,
and we will review the latest Welcome to Night Vale, and then I am sure there will be something else shiny that will capture our attention. But one way or the other, we will talk to everybody in 1 week.
Talk to y'all later.
And the other is 277. Hang on a second. Let's try that again. Cat was running across. Oh, my God. a lot of those lines, like those, in a second, my neighbors are jumping up and down. One moment. They have dogs. Give me a second. They don't usually do this for very long, but hang on. Cool. I just got the 10-minute warning.